Hello and welcome to episode 51 of A Little Bird Told Me, the freelance writing podcast about the highs, the lows and the no-nos of successful self-employment. You can find us on the web at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com and do head over there because it's got links to all our former episodes, but also every link that we mention on the podcast, they're all listed there so you can find any of the things we talk about. The other thing you can find at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com is links to subscribe to the podcast. You know you never want to miss an episode, so whether your platform of choice is iTunes, RSS Reader, or Stitcher Smart Radio, you can find the links over on our Podomatic page to subscribe in any of those ways. I am Philippa Willits, and I'm doing a solo episode today. Some statistics have come out this week that really caught my attention. In the States, 56% of adults have a smartphone and 34% have a tablet. A quarter of smartphone users said that they can't remember the last time their smartphone was not next to them. And 29% of Americans say that their phone is the first and last thing that they look at every day. Now, I'm only slightly laughing because I can relate to it so well. I'm one of those people who's always got my phone on me, always checking my email if there's 10 seconds to spare. Now, as we use our phones more and more and more for checking social networks, and doing a quick Google if you want to find something out on the go, it does get to the point where you find yourself increasingly working via your smartphone or mobile tablet as well. Whether that's something as simple as checking your email while you're having a cup of tea in a cafe, or whether you're doing more detailed work using your tablet or your phone, the fact is that I think this is going to carry on increasing, and we're going to find it becoming more and more and more normal to work in this way. I know I've gone from it being something where I would check my work email when I'm out to actually doing more and more involved things. So what I want to look at today in this podcast is apps that are really, really helpful for freelance writers. Apps that you can download onto your phone. Now, in these recent statistics that have come out, in the second quarter of this year, the Android operating system accounted for just over 3/4 of the global smartphone market share, 75.5%. Apple operating system, iOS, dropped to 13.6%. Windows Phone is increasing, but from a very low rate to start with. And BlackBerry is very, very low at the moment. But you've got 3/4 of the world's smartphones using the Android operating system and almost a sixth using Apple. With tablets, so iPads or Android tablets, Android has 53% of the market share, Apple 43%, so that's closer. Apple's numbers dropped and Androids grew. So that's much more of an even split. Now, I'm an Android user. I use a HTC Android phone and I have an Android tablet. And I really like Android. I like how it is to use. I like how everything integrates well with everything else. I like that you don't have to buy a particular brand of phone or tablet in order to use it. I like that kind of open nature of the coding, but it's a lot less control freaky than Apple can appear to be. So I'm a big Android fan. However, some of my best friends are iPhone users. I don't object to it. But because I like it and because so many more phones are using Android, including my own, the apps I'm going to talk about today are all Android apps. However, some of them also do have iOS, iPhone or iPad versions of exactly the same app. even in the cases where there aren't versions of exactly the same app, there will be, I'm sure, similar types of apps. So even if you're an iPhone user, don't think that this episode won't be relevant to you, because it will give you ideas of the kind of apps to look for. And a good number of the apps I talk about will have iPhone, iOS, iPad, etc. versions available. So what I'm going to talk about today is the 9 top apps that every freelancer could benefit from. They can have numerous purposes, from being handy if you're out and about and need to check something on your phone, to actually serving a better purpose than something on your PC or laptop might. And the first of these apps that I'm going to look at is called Cam Scanner. Now, Cam Scanner is available for Android and iOS systems. And it's very simple in what it does, but it's very effective. Cam Scanner enables you to take a photo of any document or anything, any kind of receipt, for instance, that's how I use it, and then it optimizes it, makes it very clear and very contrasty, and converts it to a PDF for you. So if you buy something that's work-related, and especially if you're worried you might lose the receipt, you just open up Cam Scanner, start a new document, scan it, well, take a photo of it, and it turns it into a PDF that you can then email to yourself or share with your Google Drive, and then you have a record of that receipt that can then be filed. Now, I use the free version of Cam Scanner, which for my uses is great. You can also upgrade to a paid version, which does have some benefits, and that is either $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year. Now, if you use the free version, then there is, at the bottom of each document, it says something like powered by Cam Scanner. Now, I don't mind that. I mainly use it for receipts for my own records, so it doesn't make any difference if it just has this little note at the bottom. If you get the paid version, there are no ads when you use the app, and there are no watermarks. You can also password protect your documents. You can extract text from your scans to edit later, and you get a higher quality scan, although the scans that come with the free version are, for my uses, perfectly fine. Now, with this app, you can actually annotate the PDF documents that you scan, and you can do that 30 times with the free version. If you want to do that more, you then need to buy the premium. But again, that's something that, if you're mainly using it to scan the odd receipt, you won't really need. And whether you get the free version or the paid version, you can then share your PDFs with yourself in whichever way suits you, whether it's with Google Drive, you can email it to yourself, you can upload it to Dropbox, any of those things. It's a really handy little app. It was one of the first things I ever downloaded when I first got an Android phone a few years ago, and it's so handy. And so that's Cam Scanner, and that, as well as being available for Android, is also available for iPhone and iPad. The next app I'm going to recommend won't come as a big surprise to regular listeners of the podcast, and that is the Google Drive app. Again, this is available for Android and iOS devices. It's incredibly handy if you want to edit a document, create a document, anything like that, that you can then get hold of on your computer or on another device. If I have a great idea for a podcast episode, for instance, when I'm out, I can open up the Google Drive app, create a new document, make notes, and save it, knowing that when I get back to my computer, it will be there ready for me to do some more work on. Similarly, if I want to transfer some of the photos from my phone to my computer, I can upload those to Google Drive and later on download them onto my computer. You can access all of your Google Drive files. All you need is an internet connection, and it's all there. You can share files with people you're in contact with. It doesn't have to even be a word process document that you start. You can open a spreadsheet. You can format the text on it. You can, if you set up for a meeting and you realize that you've forgotten to bring the agenda, but you know that you saved it into Google Drive on your computer, you can quickly access that on your iPad. It's so, so useful. We certainly couldn't manage the podcast in the way that we do without it. And so the fact that I use it so much on my computer makes it a no-brainer, really, to also have it available on my phone and my Android tablet. The next app I'm going to recommend is another Google one, actually, and that's the Google Calendar app. The Google Calendar app is available for Android and iPhone users. And there are also lots of alternative calendar apps that will sync with your Google Calendar. So if you're not that enamored with the Google Calendar app itself, do have a look at others. I'm happy enough with the Google Calendar app itself. Now, what this is good for is it syncs with your phone. So if you have something in your Google Calendar that you're supposed to be doing and you've forgotten and you're not at your computer, you can still get a push notification on your phone that reminds you to do it. I use a mixture of Google Calendar and a paper diary to manage what I'm doing. It's really reassuring to know that if there's an event coming up that's in your Google Calendar, you'll get a notification on your phone. Now, the fact that Android is run by Google does mean that Android and Google apps do tend to work very, very well together. Within the app, you can also, as well as just see the events that are already in there, you can add events using your phone or your tablet. Now, this is invaluable. If you're out with somebody and you want to arrange your next meeting, you can access your full Google Calendar using your phone or your tablet. You can then add the meeting within the app itself and even invite the person you're with all from your phone. This means that you're not noting it down on a piece of paper and trying to remember to add it to your calendar later on. And also you can set up within the app itself the kind of reminders that you want. The other handy thing with the Google Calendar Android app is that you can set up a widget, and that is, rather than having to go into an app itself, it's on one of your display screens. You can choose to have something always on display. So it might be that on the home page of your phone you have a little Google Calendar widget that tells you, you can see at a glance when your next commitment is and the details about it. I have one of those set up, and looking at it now, it tells me that tomorrow it's a friend's birthday, it tells me that I've got a meeting on Wednesday, and I don't even have to go into the app. That just displays automatically for me. And so, yes, Google Calendar, give it a go. The next app I'm going to recommend, as far as I can tell, is only available on Android. It's called Eduport, EDUPORT. And it's great for something that Laurie and I bang on about all the time, and that is ongoing training and study and learning. And what Eduport does is it gives you quick and easy access to lots and lots and lots of free lectures and talks. When you go into the app, it gives you the option of accessing different channels. So there is the University College Berkeley, there's Stanford University, there's TED Talks, MIT, Khan Academy. And you can quickly and easily find courses and lectures based on the subject you're looking for. They're organized as playlists, really, with different playlists for different topics. And while you can find most of the same talks on, say, YouTube, the joy of Eduport is that it brings them all into one place. You don't have to filter out all sorts of irrelevant things if you're looking for a specific lecture, because it's specialised and only gives you these really reputable sources to work with. I use this more on my Android tablet than on my phone, just because if I'm watching videos, I prefer them a little bit bigger. But looking at the reviews, other people love it on their phones, so it all depends on your own preferences. But with this app, you have no excuse to not check out different free university courses or other types of courses, so that you can carry on learning on an ongoing basis, and so that you're always genning up. And there isn't, for instance, necessarily a creative writing course on there. I haven't seen one, but there are hundreds of videos, so there may be that I haven't found. But it doesn't all have to be specifically about writing that you're learning about. You might want to do some business courses, or some health courses, or some maths courses, depending on what you write about. And also, just because you don't, it doesn't all have to be work. You might just, as a hobby, want to know more about physics. And Eduport is a great way to do that as well. App number 5 is called Voice Recorder. It also appears to only be available for Android. However, there will be very, very similar alternatives available for iOS. Now, it's a very basic app. It just does exactly what it says it will, and that's record your voice. There's a big red record button in the middle of the screen. You press it, and it records what you say. Now, what this is great for is if you have a sudden idea and you're not near your computer and you really don't want to forget it, whether it's something to add to your to-do list, whether it's a perfect idea for a story, or whether it's a source you've just remembered about that would do really well for an ebook you're writing. Rather than trying to find a piece of paper to write it down on, just open up the Voice Recorder app, hit record, say, don't forget to email Jane about that landing page, and then stop recording. And there, in a matter of 3 seconds, you've made a note of it. You can easily listen to it when you get home and remind yourself of what you're doing. Now, another lovely thing about the Voice Recorder app is that you can send what you record directly through Gmail. So if you might want to email yourself, I do that quite a lot. I email things to myself if I don't want to forget them. But equally, you might record a note that's for somebody else and you can send it to them directly if you use the Gmail app on your phone. So there's also a widget. So again, like with the Google Calendar widget, you can set it up so you don't have to find the app and open it and then hit record. You can set it up if you use it frequently enough so that there's just a widget on one of your home screens and you just hit record without having to bother with anything else. So it's a handy app. I will be linking, of course, to all of these apps directly in the show notes at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com. So don't panic about trying to remember what they're all called. Just make yourself a note with your voice recorder to go to our website and you can find all the direct links there. The next app I'm going to recommend is available for iPhone and Android, and it's called MindJet Maps. Now, what it is a brilliant and really simple way to create mind maps that you can store on your phone or that you can share with Dropbox. And if you're the kind of person who really likes a kind of visual approach to planning or to brainstorming, then mind mapping is a really effective way to do this. With MindJet Maps, you can create a visual planning document or a visual brainstorm with different boxes linked to other boxes that lead to other boxes, and they can contain written notes or photos or anything really that helps you to create this organized way of summing up conceptual ideas. It can also be handy for taking notes. If you're at a presentation or a meeting and you want to represent some of the ideas that you've learnt or heard, then it can be a really good way, a different way, rather than just writing pages and pages of words, it can be a really nice way to organise what you hear, all the different concepts and all the different suggestions and tools in a way that may well make more sense to you afterwards. When you glance at it, you can see immediately what you are getting at, or you can see immediately what something relates to, rather than just having to reread three A4 sides of quoted words. Now, mind maps do seem to be the kind of thing that you either love or you hate, but if you are the kind of person who finds them useful as a way of organising your ideas, as a way of accessing your work, or as a way of planning your work, then MindJet Maps is a free app. All the apps I've talked about have free versions, at least. MindJet Maps, I believe, is completely free. And if you're the kind of person who thinks in that way, then I would strongly, strongly recommend giving it a go. The eighth app I'm going to recommend for freelance writers is the Feedly app. This is available on iTunes as well as the Google Play Store. And if you were a former user of Google Reader, you will probably, like me, have done a fair bit of research when Google Reader was closing into a good alternative. And you may well, like me, have switched to Feedly. Now, I miss Google Reader still. I always will. I loved Google Reader. However, the benefits of Feedly, there were quite a few benefits of Feedly. One was that they had anticipated that Google Reader was going to close, and so several months in advance had started preparing for that possibility. So they'd vastly increased their capacity, and they had really optimized imports from Google Reader. And while I tried a couple of new services round about that time, Feedly was the only one that I found to be reasonably consistent and good to use. Lots of people were raving about one called the Old Reader, but every time I went on there, it said it was over capacity, and I couldn't be bothered with that, frankly. So yes, so I went with Feedly, like a lot of people did. Now, I accessed this partly through a Chrome extension on Google Chrome, my browser that I use, but I also access it on my Android phone and my Android tablet. It's available for iPhone and iPad as well. Now, what Feedly does is, if you're not familiar with how RSS readers work, or with Google Reader, any blog or website that you want to keep up with, you can subscribe to within Feedly. And then every time that blog or website is updated, Feedly will update itself, and so you can just scroll through all your favourite blogs in this one interface. So you don't have to keep going back to your favourite blog to see whether it's been updated. Instead, you just go to your RSS reader, and if it's been updated, it's there. Now, within Feedly, you categorise each site you want to keep up with. So you might have a section for freelance writing blogs. You might have a section for humour blogs. You might have a section for health information. Whatever you're likely to use. And so each website you subscribe to within Feedly, you then assign to one or more categories. And then when you want to catch up with the latest from your favourite blogs, you go to your Feedly app, whether it's on your browser or on your phone or your tablet, and you can choose to scroll through all the updates in a particular category or all the updates overall. I'm going to put a screenshot from my phone of a couple of these apps into the show notes, and Feedly is one of the ones that I've taken a screenshot of. And it's really, really useful for keeping on top of the latest news. I'm just looking at my own account, and I have, for instance, a category for writing advice. I have a category for my blogs about my local area. I have a category for blogs that are concerned about SEO and social media. Another about pay-per-click advertising, another of photo blogs I like. That I've got a category for people I know, so personal blogs of people I know, one for marketing, one about environmental stuff. I have a humour category, feminist category, one on Google Analytics, one on journalism, all that kind of thing. And so if I know I need to find a topic for a blog post for an SEO client, I go straight to my SEO and social category and see what people are talking about. If I want to find something to recommend on this podcast, I might go to my writing category and see if there's been a particularly great post. Or if I just am on the bus and I want a bit of downtime, then I'll open up my humour category and check out the latest daft things. And it just gathers everything you need. You input the RSS feed or just the URL of a website, and it does the rest. It brings it to you. I do also have categories for some very specific industries that I write regular news updates for, and those are the kind of websites that I would never check normally, but they're just neatly ready for me in Feedly when I need to find a story to write about. The app for the phone is nice. It's intuitive. You can swipe, like if you have one story open, you then swipe it to the left for the next. So you can quickly scroll through stories you're not interested in to find the ones that you are. You can also share from directly within Feedly. So you can click the share icon and share the post you're reading with Twitter or Facebook. If you found a particularly interesting post that you think your followers or fans might be interested in. So if you're looking for a good RSS feed reader to manage your subscriptions, Feedly's definitely one to look at, and the phone and tablet apps really do make it easy to use. So the ninth and final Android app I'm going to recommend is Dropbox. Dropbox is a really useful way of backing up and sharing your documents and information. If you've got Dropbox on your phone and you've got some photos you want to share with your sister, then you can create a shared folder within Dropbox for you and your sister, upload the photos to that folder, and then when she turns her computer on or her phone on, she's got those photos ready to download. If you've scanned a business receipt using Cam Scanner, which was the first recommendation today, then you can upload it to Dropbox into a folder called Receipts, and you know that when you get back to your laptop, it will be there ready to file. Similarly, if you've got a file already within your Dropbox that you need to amend, you can do that from your phone or your tablet. It's one of those services that I didn't realise how useful it was until I started using it. And especially at one point, I was working between two faulty machines. And so when I was trying to work on a document that I'd previously been working on another computer, Dropbox made it so easy. Rather than prior to that, I'd have been emailing it to myself or something. But Dropbox just does make it easy. If you don't have an account already, then do check out our show notes and click the link from there, because it's so handy and you can get a certain amount of storage space for free. So you don't necessarily need to pay, although you may want to pay if you find it useful to get more storage space. But for the basic version, it's completely free, and it might just make your life that bit easier. And so those are my 9 essential Android apps for freelance writers. They can all really help you with your productivity, with your organization and planning, and with your work directly itself. It can help you to learn, they can help you to take notes, organize your notes, and also access the information you need when you need it. Mobile technology is coming on so far and so fast that we're going to be using our phones and tablets for more and more and more of our work over time. There's no doubt we already, whereas freelancers would have previously perhaps used their smartphones for social media, increasingly we're using it for some of our work, and that's gonna grow and grow as the capability of the machines we're using grows, but also as companies have bright ideas about how to make it easy to do, and then they create apps that really help. So if you do have a smartphone and you're not already using it for anything work related, then have a think about just one or two of those apps and give them a go and see what helps. If you're already using your phone for some of your work, then maybe some of the suggestions I've given you will give you ideas as to how you could make it even easier. And if you just want something to keep your mind occupied, then Eduport or Feedly can provide you with endless amounts of information, literally at the touch of a button. And so they are my top app recommendations for self-employed writers. And now it is time for the famous little bird recommendation of the week. Only one this week, obviously, because there's only me. But my recommendation this week is a website called Worldometers, which is real-time world statistics. It's just quite fascinating. If you want instant statistics, it's the place to go. It has constantly updated stats. So I'm watching, for instance, at the moment about the current world population, and these numbers are rising several a second. And so I can see that at the time of recording in the world, there have been 223,404 births today and 92,187 deaths today. If I go back to the main page, I can see that there have been 221,368,000 computers sold this year. I can see that there have been 3,075,000 cell phones sold today. I can see that there have been 104,618,000 spent on video games today. 2,383,000 blog posts written today. 17,988 people who died of hunger today. How much water's being consumed this year? How many days of coal the world has left? How many deaths caused by HIV and AIDS there have been this year? It's not just full of this really interesting and potentially very useful information. It's accountable and it's reliable because it tells you where it sources its information from, and it tends to be really reputable sources like the World Health Organization. And so it's reliable. It's fascinating to watch these numbers fly by. But it's also, if you're writing an article about dieting, then you can see that today alone, $111,340,000 has been spent on weight loss programs in the USA today. If you're writing about tech, you can report how many emails have been sent today, how many newspapers have been circulated today. So whether it's something you find useful and interesting for your work, or just something to give you some quite interesting facts to help you win at pub quizzes, then my recommendation today is the Worldometers website, which is at worldometers.info, and I will link to it from our homepage in the show notes. And so that's the end of episode 51 of A Little Bird Told Me. Thank you so much for listening. Let me know how you get on with your Android apps. All my contact details, along with those of my co-host Laurie, can be found at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com, and there you can also subscribe to the podcast and find a link to our Facebook page. Do come over there, say hi to me on Twitter, and thank you again for listening, and I will see you next week.